Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to look at a very familiar verse to every one of us. Verse number 57. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 57. And we'll read verse 57 and verse 58. But the Bible says this, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that we can gather together, open up the very words of God and hear from your Holy Spirit as you speak to us this morning through your word. And Lord, we pray that you would just encourage our hearts this morning and strengthen our faith. May our eyes be lifted up to look at you more than anybody or anything else, Lord. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Paul's writing to the church, and the last verse is verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." But he says that in light of all of chapter 15 and the conclusion of chapter 15 and verse number 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to speak to you a message this morning about the fact that our God is a God of victory. Our God is a God of victory. You know, when you read through the Bible, you go through the scriptures from Genesis all the way through, and you can see over and over and over again, there would be times in the Bible where the situations of life would give good cause for people to be discouraged or depressed or even despair. But when we trust in God, there is always hope, because our God is a God of victory. You know, you just stop and consider for a minute. You stop and think of the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. I mean, just consider the situation, the circumstances that Joseph went through. Joseph is thrown into a pit, left to die by his brethren. He's sold into slavery. He's taken down into the land of Egypt, to Potiphar's house. He is thrown in prison in Egypt. And you know, you would look at those circumstances, that those would be circumstances where you could understand that someone would get discouraged, even depressed. But you know, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph in all those times. And we could go to the end of the story, and now we can look back and we can now see that the God that Joseph trusted in is a God of victory. For not only did he deliver Joseph from the pit, not only did he deliver Joseph from the prison, but he set him up in a position of great prominence in Egypt so that God could preserve the whole nation of Israel and bring about the Messiah. You go further in the Bible. You look just in other stories in the Old Testament. You could think of many of them. But you know, you come down to the end of the Old Testament, you get to the end of the book of Malachi, and stop and consider how discouraging it must have gotten after the book of Malachi is closed. For from that point on, for 400 years, no prophet in Israel would speak the word of God. You can go back to Genesis chapter 49, and you can see where Israel is waiting and hoping for the Messiah. And the rally cry of Israel was simply this: until Shiloh comes, until Shiloh comes, until Shiloh comes. And then for 400 years, God is silent. You don't think it got a little bit discouraging? You don't think Israel started to get depressed? You don't think Israel started to think in their minds, in their hearts, and say one to another, "Is God forgotten us? Will God ever speak to us again?" And then we go over to the Gospels, and all of a sudden there's a man that stands up with a cry. John the Baptist stands up, and he points to Jesus Christ, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." We can go through the New Testament, and we can see the same thing happen over and over again. We can look at the life of Peter. in Acts chapter 12, and you think about the circumstances that Peter was facing, you think about your life and my life, you think about what we're going through, hey, take a look at the life of Peter. Herod has killed James with a sword. And now Herod arrests Peter and puts him in prison, and Peter is in prison, and the next day he is supposed to be executed by the sword. You don't think that's a little bit discouraging? You don't think Peter had a reason to be depressed and wonder what was going on? And yet God is a God of victory. And in that night, when Peter is there in prison, all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord, the angel sent from God, comes to Peter, smacks him up the side of the head, says, "Stand up, you're out of here," opens the prison doors, and Peter is set free. You go over to the book of Acts chapter 27, and you can see the God of victory again, the same God of victory in the life of Joseph, the same God of victory in the life of Israel, the same God of victory in the life of Peter is the same God of victory in the life of Paul. Paul is on a ship headed toward Rome. He's a prisoner. Acts chapter 27, a storm comes up, and all of a sudden the Bible says in Acts chapter 27 that all hope of being saved was taken away. Do you understand that phrase? All hope of being saved was taken away. My friend, we are not at that point in our lives right now. It might be bad, it might be discouraging, but we are not at that point in our lives. But it says all hope of being saved was taken away. And Paul stands up and says, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be as he has told me." And guess what? They not only were saved off of that boat, not one soul on that ship was harmed. And I tell you this morning, folks, we need to get our eyes off of this world. We need to get our eyes off of this corona. We need to get our eyes on our God, for our God is a God of victory, not of defeat. Listen, if you think this thing is like a large storm cloud that's looming in the sky above you, then I tell you, I challenge you, look beyond it. Look to the very throne of God in heaven, where my God and your God, the God of victory, is seated upon that throne. He is still in control. He is still on his throne, and he is a God of victory. And so this morning, I want us to see three things. I want us to see three things from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm excited this morning when I think about not the world, not what's going on, not the politics, but when I think about God. For God is doing a great work right now. God has not stopped working. God has not forgotten us. God has not lost track of us. God is working mightily in our midst in these days. And in 1 Corinthians 15, I want us to see three things this morning. Mainly, I want us to see the victory. Thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is a God of victory. Say it with me, will you? Our God is a God of victory. One more time. Our God is a God of victory. You know, you just keep repeating it. I tell you what, your spirits get lifted up, don't they? Right? You keep speaking that, all of a sudden, you say, you know what? There's nothing too hard for our God. With God, all things are possible. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The first thing I want us to see, I'll give you my 3 points, just in case I forgot them later on. That's why I give them early, so I can forget them, all right? Number one, I want us to see the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's where our victory is. Second, I want us to see the victory for us as Christians, for me. And thirdly, I want us to see the victory for the church. Important things in these days, folks. First of all, the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in chapter 15, it's all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You go back to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Thank God, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, but it doesn't stop there. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know, if you go down to verse number 14 or verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. You understand this morning, if Christ never rose from the grave, our preaching and our faith would have no value at all. But it says this, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ also are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. That's why we have the victory, folks, is because Christ not only died for our sins, not only was buried, but rose again the third day and went back to glory. Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. You know, Jesus Christ didn't just barely rise again from the grave. Jesus Christ didn't just kind of squeak out of the tomb, folks. He didn't kind of just barely get himself out of that place. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 15, and having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You know what that verse 15 means? It says, not only did he raise himself up from the grave, but he won the victory over everything. He had spoiled principalities and power. And then it says, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You know, that phrase, triumphing over them in it, is about singing a song of victory because you've won the battle and defeated your foes. You know how it was when you played sports and you finished and you won a game and you had your victory song, your victory cheer. That's what that is speaking about in verse number 15, that Christ triumphed over them openly. He made a show of them openly. But go further with me this morning. Go over to the book of Revelation. Not only did Jesus Christ rise from the grave, not only did he ascend back to glory, but my friend, listen, Jesus Christ is going to have the victory in all things. You go over to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And look at verse number 1. And this is after the church has been taken home to be with the Lord. Another victory. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Hey, imagine that. God is telling you and me this morning, weep not, weep not. He says, fret not, weep not. Why? Behold, a lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us kings unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Hey, go one more passage with me. Go over to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. Because you know that old devil, Satan, he's going to try one more time before it's all over. He's going to try one more time. And he's going to think maybe one more time, one more opportunity. But in Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 14, it says this: these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that with him are called chosen and faithful. And it says, he's going to try one more time, but it says, you know what? The Lamb, the same Lamb that died on the cross, the same Lamb that rose from the grave, the same Lord, Lamb that is bringing us home to glory, he is Lord of lords, and he shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And so first of all this morning, in 1 Corinthians 15, and verse number 7, thanks be to God which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why we have victory is because of the victory of Jesus Christ. But there's something else here this morning. It says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And second of all, I want us to see that we, as children of God, we as believers, God is saying, look what it says here in verse 57. Thanks be to God, he gives us. He gives me as a child of God victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives you as a child of God victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. God is telling you this morning that he is giving you victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want you to see. Now, I'm just going to take time for just a couple of passages of scripture because I want these scriptures to really stick in your mind and your heart this morning. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to get this verse. Man, I want you to memorize this verse. I want you to write this verse and put it down on your refrigerator. Put it down on the mirror in your bathroom. I don't care where you put it. Just put it everywhere so that you get this verse. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. Now thanks be unto God. We should be giving thanks more than everything right now. We should be lifting up our voice and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Why? Because look what it says. He said, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, now thanks be unto God, check this out, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Did you get that verse? Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. When we are in Christ, when we are abiding in Christ, when we are living in obedience to the word of God, and walking with Christ, and walking in Christ, and trusting in Christ, and living by faith, and walking by faith, and not by sight, God says, I will cause you to triumph. Triumph. That's that same word that is spoken in 1 Corinthians 15, where it says he showed them openly, triumphing over them. God says, I'm causing you to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. You know, I want you to turn to another passage of scripture. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And these are important, folks, because I know people are getting discouraged. Listen, the reason why you're getting discouraged, the reason why you're getting depressed, the reason why you're getting overwhelmed is because you're spending too much time looking at what's going on around you and not enough time looking at the throne of heaven. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Let me take just one breather. 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is a Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. For this we know, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And by the way, I'd remind you, just go back and listen to the Sunday night messages. That's what this is all tying into. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. In other words, they're not difficult. They're not hard. It's not hard to live in obedience to the word of God. We make it hard, but it's not hard. It's not grievous. It's not harmful. It's good. Because look at the result. Look at verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Who is he that overcometh? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Hey, Christian, that's you. That's me. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that. I've trusted in Jesus Christ. I'm living by his word. It says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. I just want to stare at that verse for a while. I just want to just look at it and not see anything else. I just want my eyes to be fixed on this verse and look into the word of God and see that verse so that I don't see anything over here. I don't see anything over here. I don't see anything over here. All I see is this. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So, you know, first of all, we see that the victory is the Lord Jesus Christ. But second of all, God gives you and me the victory. That victory in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. And that speaks to you and me as Christians. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And so go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Be steadfast in your faith. Be unmovable in your faith. Don't let this thing shake your faith. Don't let this thing get you down and discourage. You have victory in Christ. Be steadfast, unmovable. And then it says this, always, always. That means right now in the midst of all this. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And the victory is in Jesus Christ. The victory that's given is given to you as me, as his children, as believers. But it says, therefore, it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that not only speaks of the victory of Christ, it not only speaks of the victory of the Christian, but it speaks of the victory of the church. Listen, this United States and the world, they can shut the doors of the church buildings, but they can't shut the door of the church. It's impossible for the world to stop the church of Jesus Christ from going forward. No virus can stop the church of Jesus Christ. No person on earth can stop the church of Jesus Christ. Because go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. There is nothing on this earth that is possible to stop the church of Jesus Christ from going forward. In Matthew chapter 16, may I remind you who is speaking? It's not Peter. It's not Paul. It's not me. It's Jesus Christ. Verse number 15, he saith to them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not Peter, but the testimony that Peter declared that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, I will build my church upon this rock. That's the testimony of himself, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, back when I used to be in the landscape construction business, one of the toughest things we faced was when we had a big rock that we'd be excavating a piece of property, and all of a sudden we'd have that excavator, that backhoe, and we'd hit a rock, and we'd look at that rock, and we say, we got to get that rock out of the way. We've got to get that rock out of the ground. We've got to get that rock. And it was too big for the excavator to move, too big for the bulldoze to push around, too big for the backhoe to move. And so what would we do? We'd go back to the shop, and we'd get the compressor on the and the trailer, and we'd bring it out, and we'd set up that compressor near that rock, and we'd take a jackhammer with a drill bit on it, and we would start drilling holes in that rock. And then once we had drilled a number of holes in that rock, we would put wedges down in that rock. And then we would take a wedge, and with a sledgehammer, we'd start to put those wedges in and pound this one and pound that one and pound this one and pound that one. And over the course of time, not with explosives that would just immediately blow it up, but over the course of time, and sometimes it would take a half hour, sometimes it would take an hour or more, sometimes it would take a long length of time. We just hit this wedge here, go on to the next one. And after a course, the pressure from those wedges would eventually split that rock in pieces. And let me tell you something this morning. We can do that with earthly rocks. But you can't do that, and no one can do that with the rock of the church, which is a testimony of Jesus Christ. There is nothing on this earth that is able to split and defeat and destroy the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You might say, Pastor, prove it. I'm glad you asked. Turn over to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. Let me show you the proof from the word of God that nothing is going to stop the church of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 19, look at verse number 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation, glory, honor, and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat upon the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne. A voice didn't come out over the throne. God isn't using the internet. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. Look what it says. Check out what it says. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's the Lord God almighty. That's the Lord God all-powerful. That is Dios es poderoso. God is all-powerful. The almighty God, the omnipotent God. He reigns. But check this out. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Hey, let's just stop and figure out what this says this morning. It says, Alleluia, because the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And then 7 down through verse number 9 speaks about Jesus Christ, that he is the head of the church. And here in verse 7 and verse 9, it speaks of his bride. That is the church. That is you and me as believers being part of that church. And it says, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, my friend, there's coming a day when Jesus Christ has come in the clouds and he's calling us up to be with him. And then he's going to ultimately defeat Satan. And there's going to be a day where you and I, as his bride, as a church, are going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is going to happen and nothing is going to stop it because our God is a God of victory. And so what does God say? He says, listen, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as he labors, not in vain in the Lord. You know why? Because our God is a God of victory. And thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Peter, when he's there, and think about Acts chapter 12. I just was thinking about this in Acts chapter 12. You know, Peter's in prison. John, or James, the brother John, has been beheaded. Peter's next on the list. And you know what Peter's doing? Peter's sleeping. Peter's at rest in prison because he was at rest in his faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Listen, when you are at rest in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to live with anxiety. You don't have to live with fear. You can rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's what Peter was doing. Psalm 37, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. And guess what happened? All of a sudden, Peter rose up because the power of God was moving in his midst and opening the doors. And you know what he did? He returned to the church that was praying for him and praised the Lord openly. Listen, in these days, I've seen God do some miracles. God did a miracle right here yesterday with your pastor. You know, it's only by the grace and keeping and power of God that your pastor is alive today and speaking to you. I took my truck and I had been here and I'd drive that truck all over the place. In fact, I was just saying to someone, just before this happened yesterday, I was saying to someone, you know what, this truck's it's going to last forever. And I said, you know, I would trust this truck. I'd get in this truck and drive right down to Florida. The person said, yeah, that's a good truck. So I'm around here and I'm driving down the hill. Coming down and I took a right-hand turn to go out the exit and I stopped at the stop sign. And when I stopped at that stop sign and was about to pull out onto Route 85, turned the wheel and nothing happened. No steering at all. It wasn't that there was power steering fluid. The steering box broke and fell off the truck. And you stop and think about it. If that had happened going down Route 85, or if that had been happening when I'm traveling 65 on Route 395, it was not that it was veering to the right. It was not veering to, there was no steering at all. Anything could have happened at that point. But I tell you what, I am thankful this morning that God showed me that he is still keeping my life, guarding my life, protecting my life, bringing me safely through so that I can abound in the work of the Lord. Not for me, but for him. I've seen people get saved during this time. I've seen marriages restored during this time. I've seen God do miracles through this time. And you know what? We need to stop looking at the clouds of doom around us and start looking at the clouds of glory, looking at the clouds through which Jesus Christ, who's seated on his throne, says, one day I'm going to stand up when my Father says go, and I'm going to blast that trumpet, and I'm going to shout, and you're going to be caught up to meet me in the clouds. Folks, listen to me this morning. Our God is not a God that's defeated. Our God is not a God that is dead. Our God is alive, and our God is a God of victory. And so look up instead of looking around. Let's pray.